Okay, we're in Psalm 128. So, keeping right in line, not missing a step. Although, I'm going to deviate a little bit from Dr. Jacobs and some of the things that he has said on the Song of Ascent. So, keep that in mind. If you're going to have to believe one or the other, I would believe him. So this section of the Psalms, so from Psalm 120 to 135, designated in your Bibles as a Song of Ascents. Some of you have Bibles that say Song of Degrees. Now, that degree is something that the earlier church had a different view than the later church did, so we're going to talk about it. Heavier Jewish version on degree than on ascent. So this is Psalm 128, very short, 6 verses. And how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. Within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the men be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. You may see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. This is right in the middle, again, 120, 135, section of the Scriptures, Song of Ascents. Dr. Jacobs has talked about this as being psalms that were sung as people made pilgrimage up the hill to Jerusalem. So if you've been here, previous Wednesdays, he's always made the point, Jerusalem sits thousands of feet higher than the surrounding area. So, literally, people were always looking up to Jerusalem, and if they had to Jerusalem, they were always walking up to Jerusalem. It was considered, and is considered in the church, that this collection of psalms was done as pilgrims did a pilgrimage into Jerusalem. Now, there is another view on this, and it's not dramatically different. But it is different in terms of why and where these names came from. And it traces to King Hezekiah. Now, these 15 psalms, John made the point of saying, one is Solomon, 4 are credited to David, and 10 are anonymous. The earlier church, and in particular the Jewish church, credited Hezekiah with this section of Psalms, with maybe some being David and one being Solomon. So there's a difference here. I'm going to look at with you how Hezekiah ties into this section of the Psalms, and in particular the idea or concept of degree. So, thing weighs 18 pounds. This is a great book. Although it was put together by the staff of Dallas Theological Seminary, so if you can get over the dispensational thing, really good history. Okay, so the author here is talking about, and he's tracing the fact that Hezekiah is the author of at least 10 of these psalms, and here's why he says that. Many believe that it was because of Hezekiah around 728 B.C. That Hezekiah had a fatal illness. Now, you'll remember this out of the Old Testament, and we're going to go there, so you'll see this in print. It's in 2 Kings. It's also in Isaiah, so it's firmly established. Hezekiah has a fatal illness. And in fact, God tells Isaiah, go tell Hezekiah he's a dead man. And he's going to be dead in 3 days. go and tell him to get his affairs in order. Now, that's pretty harsh. Hezekiah, and again, we're going to go there and look at it, but Hezekiah pleads for his life. God relents, and he gives him 15 more years. Okay, now be sure you keep these numbers in your heads. So around 728, God healed Hezekiah, and Isaiah 38 records, which we'll go to, records the prayer of thanksgiving of the king, of King Hezekiah, in which he says in Isaiah 20, in verse 20, Isaiah 38, 20, "The Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." So when the Jews looked at this, they said, "Aha, we've got the key as to who wrote these psalms, this section of the psalms, and why." Some scholars, even modern-day scholars, are calling this, these 10 psalms that are out of the 15, so they were called the Songs of Degrees. Now, degree is a curious term because you'd think it would mean degree, like degrees on a compass. It actually means steps. Okay, so we'll talk about this. These psalms have a certain similarity that brings them back to Hezekiah. And in fact, there are some. Josephus is one, for example, Old Testament historian, Jewish historian, that claims that David never wrote any of these. It was Solomon and Hezekiah. Okay. So let me take you to the scripture that talks about how this works out. This I'm going to go to 2 Kings 20. I want you to see this so you think I'm not totally making this up. 2 Kings 20. "In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos, came to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order. You shall die, you shall not live.' Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart and have done what's good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it came about, before Isaiah had gone out of the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Isaiah, return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, Thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add 15 years to your life, and I'll deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake.' Then Isaiah said, 'Take a cake of figs.' And they took it, laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'What will be the sign?'" Okay, and here's where degrees comes in. "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go to the house of the Lord the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? So Hezekiah answered, "It's easy for the shadow to decline 10 steps. But no, let the shadow turn backward 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord. He brought the shadow on the stairway back 10 steps by which it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz, Hezekiah's father." Now, when you see Song of Degrees, you actually could read that Song of Steps, and it has everything to do with Hezekiah, because this was considered a great miracle. Obviously, there was we don't have David's temple anymore. We don't have Solomon's temple anymore. So we're basing this on what we get from Old Testament scholars like Josephus, that said what happened here is that the sun was in the west. It would shine over the palace. It would shine on a set of steps. This could have been a semicircular stairway. Dr. Jacobs talked about this a couple weeks ago. Could have been a semicircular stairway. More likely, it was a set of stairs that were attached to the temple. The sun would shine in such a way that the shadow would, as almost as a sundial, you could tell what time of day it was as the sun came in the shadows on the stairs. Now, obviously, because the earth rotates in a certain manner, sun shines all constantly, that was constant, and the shadows moved in one direction only. Okay? Shadow moved one direction only. What Hezekiah was asking for was, God, if you're really going to heal me, and because I'm impatient and don't want to sit around for 3 days to find out whether I'm going to croak or not, let this be the sign. Make the shadow move in the opposite direction. Make it move in the opposite direction. Which, of course, God did. Now, there's just one side trail to this. And this is out of Josephus, who says that the reason that happened, or how that happened, and there's been lots of reasonings for it, but how it happened was that the Shekinah glory of God, the unapproachable light of God, appeared in the temple, and it was so overpowering that it overpowered the sun, which totally took away the shadows that ordinarily would be there. That was Josephus' take on how this happened. I don't know. The idea, though, is that Hezekiah was asking for a sign for himself, and it not necessarily was a sign to anybody else but him. Okay, so it didn't have to be a great demonstration in order for Hezekiah to get the sign. Now, this concept of the stairs, the degree, and the stairs led people like Josephus to say that what Hezekiah was doing at this particular point, because he had been granted 15 more years of life, that he reflected on all of his life and wrote these psalms. As he reflected on his life, on the goodness of God, and the steps that he saw in his vision or in actual miracle, these steps that he saw, these degrees. So that's a little bit different take than what Dr. Jacobs did. It is one that you don't have to necessarily buy. The Psalms are the inspired word of God. Let me take you to... Isaiah. You'll get another piece of this. I've already read this verse, but I'll do it again. Let me take you to Isaiah 38. Now, Isaiah 38, the total chapter, basically recounts what everything that 2 Kings did. You get to verse 20, and here's the passage where Hezekiah says, "The Lord will surely save me, so we will play my songs on stringed instruments." There's the idea of the psalms being sung. "We will play my songs on stringed instruments all the days of our life at the house of the Lord." That's where Old Testament people get the idea Hezekiah was the writer of the Psalms of Ascent. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that when we get to Psalm 128, very straightforward. However, you can see Hezekiah, given 15 more years in 128, how he's sitting and praising God for all that he has been given a reprieve to do. For example, and do this in a reflective sense. Because Hezekiah could well be saying here, How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. He had just been given 15 more years. He's not a dead man. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Say in this reflective sense. You know, when I eat the fruit of my hands, I'll be happy and it is well with me. And you will be happy and it'll be well with you. And, by the way, my wife. How happy I am with my wife. She is a fruitful vine within my house. My children are here with me. They're like olive plants around my table. You know, behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. I mean, can you hear Hezekiah getting this extra 15 years talking about the blessing it is to those who fear the Lord? The Lord bless you from Zion. You may see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, you may see your children's children and the peace that will be upon Israel. Here's the parts of this psalm. You see it divided nicely into two parts. Okay. The blessed and the blessing. So, how blessed, this is verse 1. How blessed in verse 4. How blessed, fear the Lord, and then in verse 5, blessed. So you get, how blessed are they that fear the Lord and walk in his ways? And what does the blessing look like? So, talking to yourself, what does the blessing look like to you? Do you consider yourself to be blessed in the fear of the Lord? What does your blessing look like? Do you eat the labor of your own hands? That's a blessing. Are you happy? That's a blessing. Are you well in your soul? It's a blessing. Do you enjoy your wife? Or do you enjoy your husband? It's a blessing. Do you consider your children to be as plants around your table if you are so blessed? Are you blessed in where you are? Are you blessed in seeing the church? Are you blessed to see your grandchildren, some of us that have grandchildren? All these blessings that come upon us from the Lord simply because we fear the Lord. We see it that way. We see the blessings as coming upon us from the Lord. Now, are these guaranteed? Do you see these, that if you fear the Lord, you will be blessed? Is that a necessary condition? It really isn't, and it can't be, of course, but there are those that teach it that way. You have to ask yourself, how do these blessings come across? Why? And when? So, you, in fearing the Lord, how are you blessed? How do you recognize that you are blessed? When will you be blessed or are you blessed? And then why? There's three aspects of this. The blessings of God, do you understand that the blessings of God are indeed future? That the blessings of God are waiting for you at some point in your future. They wait for you and they are sure. Do you consider the blessings of God to be temporal, to be now? Do you consider the blessings of God to be spiritual, now, as you reap them? These three spheres all come about in, most of the time, very ordinary conditions because of the church. You know, as you engage with the church, these blessings come across to you. For example, when you walk in the doors in here on Sunday morning, what is your emotion? How do you, hate to use this term, how do you feel when you walk in here on Sunday morning? You feel blessed coming here on Sunday morning?
Absolutely.
I absolutely do too. All right, do you feel blessed that you have work to do in the Lord? Absolutely. I do. Do you feel that you are blessed to have fellowship with other believers? Yes. Absolutely. So these things come across to us. Take it a little bit further. Are you still working? Now some of us are retired. So I have to find my blessing in mowing the lawn or blowing my driveway off. I mean, it's the sweat of my brow. However, some of you still working, do you feel that your labors are a blessing to you? The work of your hands. Again, I do. I mean, I can mow the lawn and it's laborious because my yard is hilly. However, when I'm done and it's mowed and it looks nice, I say, Jerry, that looks nice. That's good and you didn't cut your foot off. This is good. There is blessing in these things that come from the Lord in this regard. There are areas of the Scripture, these Psalms that come across to us, that are not considered by natural man. So in our regard, the blessedness of God-fearing men, and I'm using that generically, the blessedness of God-fearing men, and the way that life can approach us. I mean, for example, circumstances. Our life circumstances can't take away the blessing of God upon us. Now remember, temporal, spiritual, future. Our circumstances in life can't take those away from us. They can't alter the blessing. Our age can't alter the blessing of God. Public opinion cannot alter the blessing of God upon us. Now here's one that I hadn't thought about until I got into it, but the Jewish way of looking at this was that not even your own sense of unworthiness can retard the blessing of God upon you. Now, that was big to me because we can do that to ourselves. You know, we can talk about our unworthiness to God, and it is true. We are unworthy of His favor. But He has declared it to be so that we are blessed. So even our own unworthiness can't take it away. Now there is a concept here that can take away your sense of the blessing of God. The psalm talks about that how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and then who walks in His ways. Now, do you do that perfectly? Are you and I know these are rhetorical questions, but are you a slave to walking in His ways? We talk a good bit about the impossible standard that God places on us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The impossible standard that is placed on us regarding our performance. Now, does that kill your obedience or does that spur your obedience? Now, it can kill your obedience in the sense of you being a slave to the impossible standard. Of performing the impossible standard. There's a wrong fear, a slavish kind of fear. But there also is a fear of reverence caused by your love and your concern for the integrity of God that does spur you on, does spur you on to obedience, does spur you on to do more. To do more. I'm going to bring that up, buddy, again. More. We were talking Sunday in Sunday school about our efforts and what we're responsible to do and what does God require of a man in his life. And I went to 1 Thessalonians. And 1 Thessalonians makes a case of saying, of Paul saying to the Thessalonian church, look, guys, I know who you are. I see your labor of love. I see your works of faith. I see how you give yourself away to other Christians. I see how you help other churches that are in need. I see what you do. I see what you do. I see what you do. And then you move ahead two chapters, and he says it again. I see what you do, but I tell you this more. Excel still more. And then later in the chapter, he says it again. I know what you're doing, but I'm telling you more. Excel still more. Now, you can't do that if you're operating under or operating as a slave, under forced obedience. You can't give God more if you feel or sense that you are being forced to do it. So it is the giving of your heart, it's the giving over in obedience, it's your willful obedience to God that brings what? Hezekiah says in this psalm, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So he's got an attitude about this, but Hezekiah's got an attitude of a man that was given a death sentence and then a 15-year reprieve. You see how that's working here? No, I don't know. I haven't heard of, outside of Hezekiah, of that happening with anybody in Scripture. However, it would seem to totally affect your life. Now, I worked for a guy, Larry Burkett. Some of you know him. Larry Burkett was given a death sentence. He was told he had cancer, they couldn't cure him, and he was going to be dead within 5 years. So Larry used to tell everybody, if I could give you a gift, I'd give you cancer. Now, he didn't mean that to be funny. What he was saying was, I know my expiration date, and I no longer deal with the trivial matters of life. Now, I was working for him at the time. He really didn't. We'd go to a book signing, for example. And this was an income generator for the ministry. Larry'd go and give all the books away. He was supposed to be charging for the books. He gave them all away. And I mean, we'd walk out of there and he'd say, how do you think that went, Jerry? And I said, well, you just gave away 20,000 books. I don't think it went that well. He had a lease, truly. Larry had a lease on life because of the death sentence he was given. Now, I'm saying Hezekiah here, he had a new lease on life because he had been given 15 more years to live. Now, there's one key fact here about Hezekiah. And that is that he was in the Davidic line. Okay? So, the Messiah was going to come from the line of David. Right? Okay? On the unbroken line of David, the Messiah was going to come. Hezekiah was in the line of David. There's a severe problem here when God issued that death sentence to Hezekiah. Hezekiah didn't have a son. Which could have been a major hiccup for the Messiah. Yeah, could have been a major hiccup. So that always makes me question what God was doing and if God was simply causing this good man, Hezekiah, who was known to be a godly man, his father Ahaz was a bum. Hezekiah was a good man and tried to right all the wrongs of his father. But what I'm saying is that you know, God may well have done this strictly to create this area of the Psalms, these songs of ascent, because it did change, as by appearance, and again by Josephus, how much Hezekiah's life changed after that period of time. So, Song of Degrees.
Did Hezekiah have a son?
He did. Hezekiah had a son in the 15-year reprieve. Okay, so you don't think, let me see if I get this. You don't think that because Hezekiah wept bitterly and asked God for more time, that God relented and gave him more time?
No, it's to your point that God's going to bless who he's going to bless, when he's going to bless them.
I don't think he changes mine either. I'm agreeing with you. He didn't change his mind. There is nothing that changes in the plan of God.
Okay. Hezekiah rested with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, succeeded him as king.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yes, it is.
But
if John hadn't died, he wouldn't have had Manasseh.
Yeah, that's right. That happened one other time in the scripture. Josiah, right? Josiah, he got to within days of breaking the Davidic line. Except that he was hidden in the temple.
Jared, that other thing I wanted to ask you about too, the do more that we talked about in Thessalonians, I think you got to be careful with that, because it's not a works thing at all. It's what your heart is for the Lord and why you do what you do.
Well, that was to my point of being a slave to obedience or heartfelt obedience. And which are you? You know, are you a slave? Can you possibly redeem yourself?
No.
But, you know, giving yourself to the Lord to do all that he wants, all that he gives you according to the desires of his heart, that's walking in a total freedom.
Christ said, I'll call you brothers,
but
you are not slaves.
Not slaves. Six verses. Song of Ascents. Song of Degrees. Considered to be steps. These are viewed by Josephus and other Jewish scholars to be the steps that Hezekiah saw his miracle performed on.